from bureaus worldwide. This is FSN.
Thank you, Ollie Barrett. Thank you. It is Thursday. It is the 14th of January, 2021. How are you? Another miserable old day it is, or it has been in the northwest here in Salford. Not great, it must be said. A lot of filthy dogs, a lot of dirty dogs, and genuine canines. If you're taking dogs out in this weather, it's not great. Welcome to the programme. You can tweet me at any time. It's at RichieBBG on Twitter.
It's the BBG, not the BBC. You're listening to the Richie Allen Radio Show, live from Salford in Greater Manchester.
It's the Richie Allen Show, broadcasting live on richieallen.co.uk and multiple platforms around the world. And now, here's your host, Richie Allen.
Now, I did mention on social media earlier on that I didn't have a lot of content for you today and I didn't have any guests. That's all right. No problem. I'm here. You and I can have a chat for the next hour or thereabouts, depending on how far we go. I've mentioned Twitter already. I will read out your comments as we go along. You can talk to me about absolutely anything. I don't mind at all. All right. Now, I'll tell you what I've noticed as I was pottering about this afternoon. I did notice, a tweet doing the rounds, which shows a woman sitting on a couch, presumably being filmed by a family member, a son or a daughter. And she's claiming that she's begun to have seizures since she received the COVID vaccine, the Moderna vaccine, because there are many, well, there are three or four now, aren't there, COVID vaccines. But she got the Moderna vaccine back on the 4th of January and has made a video. And I don't know if the entire video is on Twitter. It was on Facebook, allegedly. And the woman is sitting on a couch of sorts and is moving about kind of spasmodically and is claiming that she was quite hunky-dory, quite fine, until getting the vaccine. Now, I'm going to say this. I haven't a clue whether the woman is genuine or not. And it's very unlikely she's listening to this radio programme. So I'm going to call bullshit. I'm going to call bullshit. And I sent a link to the video to my friend and your friend, Dr. Vernon Coleman, and asked him to have a look at it. And even then, with Vernon's expertise, just looking at a grainy video, very difficult to make a determination as to whether it's real or not. So I'm a layman, no medical training, and I'm talking through my sphincter, as usual, you might say. So I look at it and I cry bullshit. Why? Why do you cry bullshit? Richtard, you might ask. I'm going to tell you this. The opposition, if we are at war, as the aforementioned Dr. VC has claimed on this programme and on his own website, if we are at war, the opposition is going to be doing quite a bit of this, putting disinformation into the public domain while at the same time claiming that vaccine sceptics or lockdown sceptics are doing the very same thing. They're going to do that. They're going to make videos like this and put them in the public domain. And when we, who believe that there have already been a great number of adverse reactions to various coronavirus vaccines. We know this. So they put this information in the public domain. They hope that we jump on it and that we retweet it and repost it and put it on Facebook. And then you see the dastardly bastards can say, see, look at those stupid conspiracy fools believing this video. We set them up, or we know that this is lies, or this woman was lying. You got to be very careful. Now, again, I must say, I must reiterate, I don't know that it isn't genuine, but you've got to watch everything. Dr. Vernon Coleman has been documenting adverse reactions to the vaccine. Deaths are occurring. They are. Serious reactions are occurring. Adverse reactions are happening. This is true. Go to vernoncoleman.com and you'll find information there, right? So it is happening. So just be a bit careful. Okay, it is 7.5 minutes past five. You're with the Richie Allen Show live, as always, in Salford. The website was revamped, it was rejigged and re-spruced and refreshed by my friend Hayden Hewitt. I don't use the word friend lightly, I never had. Have had, never have. And I'm delighted with it. It's very functional, he's nailed the brief, as what I wanted it to be. There are lots of new features on there, and there will be in the coming days. You can log in, you can create your own account on the website and do lots of things there. Now, I must say, I have no interest in who you are or your data. None whatsoever. These features are useful features, but they're not because I want to collect your data or any information on you. No, I do not. I will never, ever, ever, ever market anything to you or ask you to buy anything. Never. So don't worry about that. Your data, when you're on the richieallen.co.uk website, is absolutely safe, as safe as it could be. All right? Trust me, I'm not a doctor. Okay. So it's terrific. Thank you, Hayden. I'm really chuffed to bits with it. You will see regular news articles there as the days go by, not just from me, but from guests as well. And you can share them easily if you like or not. You can comment on them. The podcast will be there every day of the live radio show. There is a link, obviously, there. The player is on there where you can hear the live radio show. And I'm absolutely happy with it. And I do recommend Hayden Hewitt. If you want a website built and you need it done properly, contact him. He's very competitive when it comes to pricing, and he is as reliable as anybody I've ever met. He's a great, great guy. This is Hayden Hewitt, of course, the famous Hayden Hewitt of LiveLeak.com fame. And Altfeed, check out Altfeed. He'll be on the programme soon talking about that project. All right, so I'm very happy with that. I believe that there's been a lot of traffic on the website today, and it might be a little slow to load as a result of that. But that'll iron itself out as the hours and days go by. Thanks again to Hayden Hewitt, richieallen.co.uk. Siegfried is dead, I noticed. You ever been to Vegas, you? You ever been to Las Vegas? I mean, if you're listening in the United States, there's a good chance you've been to Vegas. I've never been to Vegas, like everybody who's ever loved live music and live entertainment. It's a big ambition, or it was a big ambition of mine. I'd love to be there. As an Elvis fan, I'd love to go. Siegfried and Roy, Wayne Newton, all of those shows, marvellous. Going to Vegas to lose your bollocks at blackjack, eh? Eh, bit of blackjack. I used to play quite a bit of blackjack at casinos, so I did, in Benalmadena, or Benalmadena, as they say in some parts of Dublin. Benalmadena, San Roque, Seville. Used to drive to Seville a lot, so I did, from my home on the Costa del Sol. We used to do it. San Roque, Seville, Marbella, Santa Maria. Oh, Santa Maria, God be with the days. Benalmadena, to play a bit of blackjack. I think I about broke even over the years. I loved Seville particularly because in Seville they allowed you to isolate a dealer. So if you saw a dealer sitting alone at a table, you could play anyway. A lot of casinos did stop that in recent years, where they refused, where you had to play two hands, right? If you were alone and the dealer was alone, you had to play two hands. But in Seville, you could play the dealer and just do one hand at a time. I did isolate a dealer in Seville one night, and I turned €100 playing €5 a hand into about €1,000 in 20 minutes. And that's the only time I've ever had any success in a casino. Let's be honest about that. But Paddy isn't stupid. I gave €500 to El Frogo Tremendo. Now, El Frogo Tremendo is my French missus. And then I played with their money. God be with the days. God be with the days. Here's the tune. When I come back, it's content. We're going to have a look at some of the stories making the headlines today. It is the Richie Allen Radio Show, broadcasting live on richieallen.co.uk, alfie.org. We're also, of course, live on the TuneIn app as well, and lots of other places. Here's the music from Journey kicking us off. We'll have a chat when we come back from this, you and me. Welcome to the programme. Journey and Don't Stop Believing on the Richie Allen Radio Show, live from Salford. Drive Time Radio, tune that. Drive Time, tune that. Hi to Darren in Norfolk. How you doing, Darren? Richie, listening to the show from a very freezing and very deserted King's Lynn, seeing my bus job slowly die. I'm glad of the company. Thanks, Richie. I also tweeted Matt Hancock and asked if a death within 28 days of receiving a vaccine would be counted as a vaccine death. No answer yet, says Darren. Darren, I'm sorry to hear about your job. I really am. Our website, richieallen.co.uk, gets a very high volume of emails from people. And obviously it's very difficult to reply to them all. But increasingly lately, I'm seeing emails from people that are realising that they're losing their job and that there won't be any way to get it back. And all I can say to that is I'm very, very sorry about that. And I mean it. It's not mealy-mouthed stuff here. I'll go away at 7 o'clock and forget about it. I won't forget about it. It's a dreadful thing. As for getting an answer from Matt Hancock, well, I think maybe the less said, the better there. Speaking of the website, the aforementioned Dr. Vernon Coleman writes on his own website, vernoncoleman.com. He updates regularly there. And I needn't tell you, because you already know, he is a very, very accomplished writer, having written for the national press for many years. And of course, he's written dozens of books, very successful books. So he's got a great talent for the written word, as Dr. Vernon. And I asked, well, I didn't ask, I took and then asked, which is a bit cheeky, but I grabbed one of his articles today from his website and put it onto our new website and then asked him, you know, do you mind? And he said, not at all, you can do that as much as you want. Do visit vernoncoleman.com when you do read these articles. But he's written a brilliant piece about the PCR test and the whole conspiracy or the whole hoax or the whole lie rests on the acceptance, the public's acceptance, I think, that the PCR test is a legitimate test for coronavirus and it isn't. And Vernon writes, Dr. Vernon Coleman, on his website, that the pointless lockdowns, the stupid social distancing rules, the absurd and dangerous insistence on mask wearing, all of these things are being driven, I'm paraphrasing now, are being driven by the testing program. And he goes on to write about the testing program. He says, and I know you probably know this, and it's something that you've probably known for some months, but we are inundated, programs like this, with new listeners all the time. So listen up, this is very, very important. A positive PCR test doesn't mean that an individual has any infection at all, let alone COVID-19. So why are governments still using the PCR test, writes Dr. Vernon Coleman? It's because they actually want to increase the fear, introduce more lockdowns, terrorise the public, destroy national economies, and find more reasons to promote their dangerous social distancing, mask wearing, and pro-vaccination propaganda. He writes, the promotion of fear is part of Agenda 21, a massive campaign devised decades ago by bureaucrats and billionaires to take control of the world's population. Again, documented on vernoncoleman.com. And this is important here. It's all important, but this is very important. The PCR swabs which are taken need to be examined. But before they can be examined, they have to be amplified so that the virus particles can be seen. And this is where the dishonesty comes in. There are two problems, writes Dr. Vernon. First, the PCR test is not specific for COVID-19, since it merely detects RNA, which can come from all sorts of sources. Second, in order to examine the RNA, the swab needs to be amplified by 25 to 30 times. If you amplify too much, then the result is unreliable and unscientific because it picks up bits of debris left over from a cold or flu in the past. Even the World Health Organization says that the amplification should not be done more than 30 times. But governments everywhere are amplifying even PCR swabs by up to 40 times, meaning that the results are utterly worthless because they are picking up old bits of virus. Anyone who has or has had any sort of cold or flu bug in the last year or two even is being counted as a positive PCR test. And that's what's happening here in the UK. The NHS guidance uses a PCR cycle threshold of 40. And that's why so many people seem to have COVID-19. The so-called pandemic of COVID-19 is a complete lie, and governments know, or should know, writes Vernon, that it is a lie. And he goes on to talk about how the PCR test is being used to justify more and more lockdowns, mask wearing, and more restrictions. Now, none of that is conjecture. That's a fact. And we've had Sacharit Bhakti on this programme telling us that. We've had Dolores Cahill on this programme telling us that. We've had Martin Kulldorff on this programme telling us that. Not a conjecture, not an opinion. WHO says don't amplify any more than 30 times. Don't do that. But we're doing it here in the UK 40 times and above. It's a lie. It's an absolute lie. And it's an excellent article. And I'll be sharing more from Dr. Vernon Coleman on my website in the days and weeks to come. Yeah. And I had a laugh earlier, speaking of the PCR test. Billy Clegg posted on my Facebook page. Billy is presumably a listener to the programme. And he said the PCR test is about as reliable as the buttercup test. Remember that, the buttercup test? The buttercup test when we were kids under the chin with the buttercup to see if you like butter and all the rest of that. And what will it take to get Dr. Vernon Coleman to revamp his own website, vernoncoleman.com, that was obviously put together back in the 1990s? Do we have to petition the government to get it discussed in Westminster, to get MPs to determine whether or not he should upgrade and bring into the 21st century his website? I'm not in any way now being unfair or having a go at Dr. Vernon Coleman, because the articles on his website, when you get to them, are very easy to read because they're very well written. And there's no problem there. But the problem is we can't share them. Because when you get onto vernoncoleman.com, when you enter the website, when you click on health on the left-hand side, and you see all these excellently sourced articles, these brilliantly briefed articles, you can't share them directly because the articles themselves don't have their own URL address. And I've said this to the man, Dr. Vernon, but he's stubborn. He doesn't want to know. Doesn't want to know. God, it's old school, that website. I was giggling with Hayden Hewitt talking about it today. What did he say to me? He said, well, Vernon Coleman said to me, it was founded in the very early 1990s, young man. No one else knew what the website was then, and it's been uplifted 3 times. It gets a facelift every decade, says Dr. Vernon Coleman. Right, here's another tune. When we come back from this, more news, and I'll be reading your tweets out as we go along as well. Stevie Wonder. Ah, yes, Stevie Wonder is on the bucket list. All right, Stevie Wonder is on the bucket list. Stevie Wonder. Now, there's somebody I would crawl across broken glass, 500 miles, and 500 more, by the way, to see live. I doubt that opportunity will ever present itself now with the way things are going. Britain's lockdown rules. Wait for this. This is in the Daily Mail and the Telegraph today. Oh, brace yourself now. Britain's lockdown rules may be needed until the autumn. Scientists advising the government warn today. You're not going to believe it. Professor Lockdown, Neil Ferguson, the very same, whose grim modelling is that 500,000 Britons could die unless action was taken, spooked ministers into the first national shutdown last March, said the easing of curbs would be a very gradual process.
What kind of fuckery is this?
I'll tell you what the fuckery is. Why is anybody printing a word that is uttered by Professor Neil Ferguson, a goon of a failed academic who's modelling not just on coronavirus estimates and death estimates, but going back other, you know, flu seasons and God knows what else. That you wouldn't trust the guy to tell you the time in a room full of clocks. And yet every proclamation by Ferguson is picked up by the UK print media. Yeah, we might be locked down until autumn. He says we couldn't have predicted the new variants, and the new variants will make the relaxation of restrictions more difficult because the new variants are substantially more transmissible. Ferguson, eh? And you might have heard this. This might be relevant to you. So listen up. Eishtigi, as we say back in the old country, travellers from Brazil and Portugal are going to be banned from coming to the UK from Friday because of concerns about yet another variant, this time the Brazilian variant. The UK Transport Secretary, Grant Shapps, said this change would come into force from 4 o'clock tomorrow morning. Why 4 o'clock tomorrow? I've no idea. British and Irish citizens and foreign nationals with residence rights will still be able to travel, but must isolate for 10 days when they get here. The decision was announced following a meeting of ministers today. Sky News reporter Rob Powell has the details. Listen up, because this might be very pertinent to you.
Yeah, the early hours of tomorrow morning, Sarah, and I think the list is perhaps more extensive than people might have initially thought. It's not just Brazil and the neighbouring countries. It is the whole of South America, plus other countries like Panama and Central America, also Cape Verde, and also, crucially, Portugal as well. Grant Shapps saying in the last half an hour or so in a series of tweets that because of the strong links between Portugal and Brazil, there is a need to put Portugal on the list as well to reduce the risk of importing infections. He says there will be an exemption, though, for hauliers travelling from Portugal. That full list you can see up there now: Argentina, Brazil, Bolivia, Cape Verde, Chile, Colombia, Ecuador, French Guiana, Guyana, Panama, Paraguay, Peru, Suriname, Uruguay and Venezuela from tomorrow, the 15th of Jan. At 4 a.m. So an extensive list covering the whole of South America, hundreds of millions of people there. Grant Shapps saying, though, that this would not apply to British and Irish nationals and third country nationals with residence rights. But those passengers that have been in those countries and are returning to the UK will have to self-isolate for 10 days, and their household will have to self-isolate as well. Clearly, the reason for putting Portugal on that list is to try and get round the problem of people taking connecting flights back from the affected countries and getting into the UK that way. It's very difficult to mitigate against that and really relies on passengers being honest in their passenger declaration forms and being transparent about where they have been. When the South Africa travel ban came in, that did include people that have been in the country within 10 days. But as I say, if people really want to get round it, there's not a whole lot that the authorities can do. But clearly they've identified routes coming back through Portugal as a potential route for people to make it back to the UK. And that is why they've also put Portugal on the list. But I think putting a European country on the list, a country which I think inevitably will probably have more people coming back from it for other reasons, not just that they're trying to come back from Brazil, will cause more disruption. And I think we wait to see what the response will be from the Portuguese government. Earlier on in the pandemic, when Portugal was one of the few European countries to be left off the travel corridor list, the Portuguese government weren't best pleased about being put in that position. But I think this really highlights how seriously the government must be taking this new variant of coronavirus that's been identified in Brazil, that they have acted to put the entirety of South America, along with other countries, on the travel ban list. Now, aviation analysts say that actually for Brazil anyway, direct passenger flights between Brazil and the UK have not been running since the end of December. Now, that's because Brazil actually put the UK on a travel ban list at the end of last month because of the variant that started in Kent here. And as soon as that happened, analysts say that travel in both directions, passenger travel anyway, was completely shelved. So flights haven't been arriving in the UK from Brazil for a while now.
So tit for tat then.
Aviation analysts say that actually for Brazil anyway,
yeah,
direct passenger flights between Brazil and the UK have not been running since the end of December. Now, that's because Brazil actually put the UK on a travel ban list at the end of last month because of the variant that started in Kent here. And as soon as that happened...
This is madness, isn't it? Brazil had already put the UK, you know, on the back foot by saying UK citizens couldn't come to Brazil because of the UK variant. And now the UK is banning Brazilian travellers. I've got to correct myself. Of course, the story is it's the entire South American continent. It's South America. Excuse me, mea culpa. UK-bound arrivals from South America and Portugal banned from Friday over concerns about this coronavirus variant in Brazil. I mean, I say this partly for a laugh, but I genuinely believe this. The COVID bluffers are basically similar to the story writers for Coronation Street, EastEnders, Fair City, or Glen Row. Remember Glen Row? Eh? Are you old enough to remember Glen Row? They are. You know how they play soaps, how they write soaps looking ahead. I've had experience of this, not writing soaps, but as somebody who's worked in broadcasting, I know people. You know, story writers sit around and they plan things. You know, EastEnders, they'll sit around. I think Ian Beale should have an affair, you know, with Grant Mitchell. We don't have enough over 50s gay affairs in the show. What do you think, Leslie? Yeah. And Phil Mitchell could then try to murder Ian and go on the run. And in the meantime, you know, this is how they do it. And they're scripting COVID the same way. This is what they're doing. I say, how about we introduce a new Brazilian variant, eh? And the UK says that South Americans can't come to the UK, but the Brazilians have already banned the people from England coming because of the variant found in England. And then everybody gangs up on South Africa because, well, there's a variant in South Africa, and we're not sure if the COVID vaccines will cover all of these variants. This is horse shit! How can anybody take it seriously? Honest to God, it's enough to drive you mad, isn't it? I really believe that's how it's going. This is a story. Remember, the old richieallen.co.uk. I wrote an article about how the news, how 24-hour-a-day television news has replaced the daytime soaps in most people's homes. And I got into it fairly deeply. I see this now with coronavirus. It's a script. And they've got very good or very bad writers writing this crap. You know, at times like this, you just need a bit of dolly. That's what I say. 24 minutes to 6, the Richie Allen Radio Show, live from Salford. 9 to 5, though, not too much of that anymore, sadly.
Renowned healer Mark Bajerski travels the world to find the most unique and powerful crystals for self-healing. Since the ancient times, crystals have been used as healing tools. They hold a natural healing vibration and are highly charged in positive energy. Mark teaches how to channel the universal energy and transfer it to the crystal to activate its healing power. Each crystal is used for its unique ability to target a different physical or emotional challenge. Mark Bajerski is an author, healer, speaker, and founder of the Pure Energy Healing Academy. He shares powerful messages of inspiration and healing on his daily YouTube videos, reaching millions worldwide. Mark's crystals, healing oils, and incense sticks are most sought after by other healers. His collection is available online at www.markbajerski.com. His work is presented through Lemon House, a company that creates and curates consciously made gifts.
It's the BBG, not the BBC. You're listening to the Richie Allen Radio Show, live from Salford in Greater Manchester.
Welcome back. I've got to say a big thanks to Shelley Tasker, to Nina, to Charlie, and to Graham in Cornwall. They invited me to be on Cornwall Revolution Radio last evening, and I went on, and they were great and treated me very well, and it was a lot of fun. So the Shelley Tasker Show, you can find it on Facebook if you choose. Nina, Charlie and Graham, thanks for your hospitality last night. I really enjoyed myself. So I did, as we say back home. Let's crack on. Let's crack right on. Where was I? 4.5 million people waiting, or in limbo, if you will, to start treatment that has been held back because of the coronavirus pandemic, scamdemic, alleged pandemic. I don't know if you came across this today. Got quite a bit of coverage. 4.5 million people waiting for treatment and can't have it because hospitals have been told not to give it, basically to free up everything they have, all the space they have for coronavirus cases. And in this vein, I noticed today that it was trending on Twitter that women in the UK, because of the economic tsunami, the absolute shock to the economy caused by locking everybody into their homes, closing down businesses, and we heard, of course, 250,000 businesses are likely to go to the wall in the country this year. Because of this, women are taking to a website called OnlyFans to make some money. Now, as I understand it, OnlyFans is it's basically an amateur porn website where anybody can be a porn star. Where you would say you would create your own account, right? You would get your own site on OnlyFans, and then you would perform. You would make adult videos maybe, or adult photographs, and then you would sell those via your membership, via membership of your site on OnlyFans. And I saw this trending today. A lot of women, and this is shocking stuff, this, you know, women who would never have considered doing anything like that, would never have put themselves in that position, are having to do stuff like this to make money. Surely, and I'm not pontificating here, I mean this, surely the United Kingdom is a failed state. Well, maybe it was always a failed state, if people have to do that to make some money. That was trending on Twitter today, and I did read an article in either in The Guardian or on RT.com, I can't remember, about that very thing. And I also came across today something that's fairly disturbing. We talk about the plight of homeless people on this programme from time to time. And I read in the Mail today, and I double-checked it elsewhere to see if it was indeed happening, but doctors in the UK, around the country, have been acting of their own volition, basically taking matters into their own hands, and have been gathering homeless people, bringing them to their surgeries, and giving them a coronavirus vaccine. Now, are they informing the homeless people of all the facts about the vaccine? Are they getting informed consent from the homeless man or woman? I'm not suggesting for a moment that a homeless man or woman is less intelligent than you or than me. But maybe a homeless person maybe is less, has less access to the sort of information that you have access to and I have access to. And I'm willing to concede that maybe these doctors think they're doing the right thing with the weather turning very bad and it being the winter and all. You know, we might be doing the right thing. Shocked to read that. If you look for that online, you'll find that story very quickly. If I get a chance, I'll upload it myself in a few minutes' time. Dreadful stuff. And here's something that's going to make you laugh out loud. This is belly laughs. Because if you don't laugh, it is the oldest cliche in the world. If you don't laugh, you'll go barking. You'll go crazy. Did you see this today? I grabbed this from Talk Radio. Talk Radio had this on its Twitter feed today. A runner was exercising in West London when he was stopped by a COVID marshal. The COVID marshal warned the runner that he was breathing too heavily. Now, this was recorded on a phone, so the audio isn't brilliant. I couldn't clean it up very much at all. And you might have to strain your ears. You might have to strain your shell-like to hear what's being said. And I might end up distorting it because I've got to turn it up a bit. But listen to what's being said. This is 2021 life. You can't believe this. A COVID marshal stopping a jogger to say you're breathing too heavily. Holy Mary, Mother of God.
So why can't I run along here? Everyone else is running along here.
There are COVID marshals.
Are you a COVID marshal?
Yes, COVID marshal.
So why can't I run along here? Why can't he run along here? Explain.
Sorry?
Explain why we can't run.
Because you're breathing heavily.
You're breathing heavily.
And it's very...
I'm breathing heavily.
When anyone is running...
There's no mandated mask outside. You don't have to have a mask outside.
Yeah, this is what we...
In the government, it doesn't say that I cannot run.
I can't just stop you. I just can tell you that you can't.
So you're telling me I cannot run
along
here, along the waterfront when everybody else is walking, and you stop me to tell me that I need a mask?
Not need a mask. I'm saying running is not allowed.
Running is not allowed along the waterfront, although everybody else is running.
Yeah, we're trying people.
Where does it say in any law where I cannot run?
Written there's no bicycle and
but I'm not a bicycle, I'm a runner.
No, yeah, that's what I'm, no bicycle and running allowed.
Wait, where is this say I can't, where I can't be, you know, a runner?
From,
where does it say
from now on they're going to put,
from now
we start from yesterday basically.
So where did it say that to? Where did the announcement say I said I cannot run? The government says I'm allowed 1 hour a day exercise, 1 hour a day, yeah. And you're stopping me from running.
This is not a Monty Python sketch. It's not the 9 o'clock news. This is genuine. This guy was stopped by a COVID marshal in West London who said, you're breathing too heavily. Honest to be Jesus.
Running.
No, I'm just telling you, it's not, running is not.
No, you just said on the government website, it says I cannot run.
Yeah. So this is my manager.
And then he introduces the manager. So the manager is standing to the side. He's going to sort this out now. COVID marshals, well, they've got managers.
Oh, you're the manager, are you?
Not the supervisor.
Of the COVID marshals?
Yeah.
Right, so this gentleman here just said I have to stop running along the water. Can you please explain the reason why?
You can run, it's not proper. But what it is when the people pass it by...
He just stopped me and said I cannot run.
So they've been briefed to stop people. There are a lot of people because this area get busy.
It doesn't say that on the government website. The government website says you can do 1 hour of exercise a day.
Yeah, he's not stopping you to exercise.
So he just stopped me from exercising.
Yeah, he's not stopping you.
He did. He stopped me.
He said, "What it is there?"
No, I've got this recorded. Okay. He said to me, "Please stop. You cannot run along the waterfront because of heavy breathing."
It's got a sound of, if you shut up, mate, you might hear him say something about blessed are the big noses. This argument. This guy. I love the politeness of the jogger and of the COVID marshal supervisor.
I didn't say
heavy breathing.
You might be a different case scenario.
No, you can't make one more. Person.
Wait for what he says, the supervisor.
But I'm just saying, hear me what I know you're recording.
Yeah, because it's
hear
going
me out what I'm saying. On some cases, like I said, your scenario might be different. You might be run away from people, yeah? Some people actually run past other people who are actually walking past.
Well, then
You might run away from people, but other joggers are running past people. That's where the breathing heavily charge comes from, presumably.
Well, then, doesn't that make any difference? Because so you're going to stop everybody from walking along the
way. We're advising people. We're not actually enforcing.
I was nowhere near anybody.
But we're advising
people. But I was nowhere near anybody. I was running on my own in the middle of the path. And he stopped me and said, you must...
Yes!
What kind of fuckery is
and I'm going to say this, and there needs to be a caveat. There needs to be a preamble. Listen, you are listening to somebody who describes himself as a Bolivarian socialist. You are listening to a bloke, okay, who doesn't have a racist bone in his body. Never have had, never will. But you have to laugh. You have to put yourself sometimes in the shoes of other people. Right? You see the video. The guy is a white Englishman. He's stopped by a gentleman who says he's a COVID marshal who says he's breathing too heavily. That gentleman has got a very heavy accent. I think the gentleman is Asian, or of Asian ethnicity anyway. Then over comes the supervisor or the manager, and he's also a heavily accented man. Now, I'm not throwing any stones in that glass or at that glasshouse. I've got an accent of my own. But that must actually rub it in. That must piss off some Englishmen even more. But not that particular guy, not that particular runner. That's just, this is where we are going. In West London, a man is out jogging and he is confronted by COVID marshals, one of whom tells him not to jog there because he's breathing too heavily. This is 2021 life, folks, and I don't know, at some stage something is going to have to be done about this. Something is going to have to be done about it. Staggering that, not a Monty Python sketch, but a genuine incident in West London. Crowded House on the Richie Allen Show. Is that a cover of Paul Young, or is Paul Young a cover of that? I should know this, because I presented 10,000 music programmes on commercial radio. Which came first, Crowded House or Paul Young singing Don't Dream It's Over? I can't remember. It must be the Alzheimer's kicking in at 6 minutes to 6 o'clock. I've no idea when I'm going to finish today. It's a 2 hour radio show ordinarily, but it won't be today. Might be 6:30, might be 6:15. I've no idea. I'll keep going until I run out of gas. I don't know. Whatever. Thanks for the tweets. Some of you absolutely aghast at the exchange between the jogger in West London and the COVID marshal. I know. Stuff of comedy scripts you would have thought in the past. Now, here's a serious story. Matt Hancock, the health secretary here in the UK, announced today that 3 million coronavirus vaccines have now been administered. 3 million people have had hope injected into their arms. He said, Hancock did on Twitter, that he was delighted with the news. He said, we're accelerating the COVID vaccine rollout across the United Kingdom. And it was announced, wait for it, the doctors will be given a £30 bonus for every care home resident they manage to vaccinate before the end of this week. Wow. I don't know how much the doctor gets for each individual vaccine? I don't know that. I should know that. I think it has been made public. Is it £15 per jab? Is it £20 per jab? Or something like that. But they will get 30 quid a jab. No, they won't. They will get a £30 bonus on top of their fee for the jab for every care home resident vaccinated before the end of this week. That doesn't sound right to me. GP-led hubs administering the vaccines will be granted a cash incentive to speed up the rollout of jabs in care homes. NHS bosses told family doctors that they expect care home residents and staff in England to be vaccinated by the end of this week or by January 24th at the latest. Now, care homes. Care homes. Reading the broadsheets as I do every day, I couldn't miss Camilla Tominey, who's a very good writer, writes for The Telegraph these days, writing today about care homes. And Camilla Tominey wrote in The Telegraph today that she's very concerned that the mass deaths, the massive amount of deaths that we saw in care homes last year in the UK might be about to happen again. You can find that article on thetelegraph.co.uk or telegraph.co.uk. To set it up for you, the Office for National Statistics, or the ONS, claims now that care homes accounted for nearly half of all excess deaths between March and September last year. We know that more than 25,000 seniors died needlessly, didn't they? And they died on their own, didn't they? In a miserable situation, without their children often by their sides or their grandchildren. More than 25,000. Now, I'm not saying they died of coronavirus. I'm not a hypocrite. They were locked in, sealed in, hermetically sealed in, and people were left out of hospitals, not checked to see if they had any infections or any respiratory infections at all. They went into the care homes then, and it was absolutely fatal for 25,000 seniors. This happened last year, and it's been much discussed on this programme. So Camilla Tominey, writing in The Telegraph today, says might happen again. I'm going to read a little bit of it. She says, as care homes are once again at risk of being overwhelmed, owners fear that history is not only in danger of repeating itself, but also of killing off the sector altogether. NHS guidance sent to care providers suggests that clinicians release some COVID patients straight into a care home without having to enter and isolate and without requiring a further COVID-19 test in the 48 hours prior to discharge. This has been described as deeply worrying, as infections are already beginning to spiral out of control. And she went on to say, did Camilla Tominey, that in the week to January 8th, there were 824 COVID care home deaths, up from 661 the week before and 530 the week before that, again citing the ONS for the information, ONS figures. She goes on to say that the National Care Forum has found that care homes were operating staff absence rates of up to 50%. Imagine that. Some care homes working with half the staff on leave, with increased testing revealing more positive cases and forcing staff to isolate. So care home staff are getting tested just like nurses and doctors. And there isn't anything wrong with them. They're fine. They're not coughing. They're not sneezing. No sore throat. No loss of sense of taste or smell. They're doing all right. But they get this worthless PCR test. I talked about Dr. Vernon Coleman's article earlier on. Amplified 40 times and not 30 times. The worthless PCR test says, oh, you have the virus, so they're sent home. So they're under enormous pressure in the care homes. So Tominey says there are fears that homes already financially struggling due to low occupancy will feel compelled to take potentially infected patients under the latest guidance. I don't have to tell you what that could mean for seniors in care homes in the UK and elsewhere, because presumably this is happening in Ireland as well. It's exactly 6 o'clock. I don't know what to say about that. It's at RichieBBG on Twitter if you want to tweet me about that. And on that, on vaccinating people in care homes and vaccinating everybody else, pharmacies are beginning to vaccinate people now. There was a big row last week about why the hell are pharmacies not giving out the jab they should be able to, they give people the flu jab. Well, they will be giving out the jab. Here's Boots, which is a very famous, obviously, very big chain of pharmacies in the UK. Here's Boots' chief executive officer, a guy called Seb James.
Boots has been doing vaccinations for a very long time, and we're pretty good at it. And we think it would be great if people could go to their local Boots store and get a very convenient and rapid service. We're not going to make any profit out of this activity. So we do think it's extraordinarily important that we get the nation back on its feet. I think the most important thing is that we get it in as many places as possible and that we deploy all of the registered healthcare professionals, the pharmacists up and down the country who are all itching to get on with doing this. And I think if we did that, we could get everybody vaccinated pretty quickly. Certainly our view is that if we were given a mandate, we could probably do 500,000 a week just on our own.
We could do 500,000 a week just on our own, he said. 500,000 a week on our own. Wow. Incredible stuff. Right, you're with the Richie Allen Radio Show. 1:30 past six. Phil in Florida has asked me to play a little bit of audio of John Waters, the great Irish journalist. Phil, I don't have that to hand, but I will look for a link to it. And if I find a link to it, I will play it. Because John Waters, the great Irish writer and broadcaster, was on this program some months ago, 6 months ago, or what, he's been on a few times. But he was very emotional in talking about the absolute scandal, the disgrace, the genocide that has happened in care homes in my country, in Ireland and beyond. So I'll get that clip, I'll dig it out, and I'll play it as soon as I can, all right? It's lovely to be with you today. Brand new richieallen.co.uk, with thanks to Hayden Hewitt from liveleak.com. Thank you, Hayden. Do check out the new website, read the articles there. It's going to be packed with stuff in the coming days and weeks. Lots and lots of new features as well. You can create your own account there if you want as well. I recommend you do that. Hey, by the way, just in case you didn't hear, my name is Richie Allen. I am the BBG, the biggest, baldiest gammon in the country. This is Madonna. Holiday from Madonna on the Richie Allen Show. Dug out that clip. I found that clip of John Waters. That went out, I think, in mid-April last year, so it's quite a while back. John was on talking with me about the lockdown and the impact it was having on people. His absolute astonishment at the time that it was happening, that it was going unchecked. He was disgusted at journalists in Ireland for not taking on the government. Oh my God, this is mid-April last year. Look at where we are now. Here's John talking about the cruelty and wickedness of lockdown. And yeah, this was powerful stuff.
There are so many things to be said, Richie, that are not being said. People need to be understand that there's so many things now going on that need to be teased out and speculated about as well, as you know, people informing themselves. But even speculative conversations, trying to put pieces together, say, what is this all about? How can it, isn't it extraordinary the way that there's a kind of a ritualistic process now going on where we're being inculcated in ideas of isolation and, you know, distancing and, you know, that these are weapons, like that, the main qualities, when you think about it, for the immune system, the three things I said yesterday in the fourth course, there are three things you need more than anything else to make keep your immune system strong, and they are fresh air, sunshine and love.
That's right.
And those things are being attacked in this process, that people are dying now in nursing homes and their loved ones cannot get near their beds. The people that they've been lived their lives with for many, many years or decades have to just get the word on a phone that they're gone, and that those days passed without a touch or a kiss on the forehead of their loved one. It's a shocking act of cruelty that is being imposed on our societies by these bastards. They should be flogged. They should be horsewhipped, in my opinion.
Yeah, that was powerful stuff from John Waters on the Richie Allen Show last April. Thank you, Phil, for remembering that. Over to FSN for headlines. Back with more after this.
From Feature Story News in London, I'm Ollie Barrett. A World Health Organization team has arrived in Wuhan to investigate the start of the COVID-19 outbreak. Ugandans have turned up in large numbers to vote for a new president in a tense election. Most people who've had COVID-19 are protected from catching it again for several months at least, according to a UK study. and Renault's chief executive has outlined a strategic reboot for the carmaker after a sales crash in 2020 of 21%.
Thank you very much, Ollie. Lovely stuff. It's 8.5 minutes past six. It is on Thursday, the 14th of January, 2021. Richie Allen Radio Show with you live from Salford, as usual. Back in a moment.
Thanks to you, the Richie Allen Show is the most listened to independent radio show in Europe. Show your support for this unique broadcaster by making a regular financial contribution. Just the price of a cup of coffee each month will make a massive difference. Visit richieallen.co.uk for details.
And you're very welcome back. It's lovely to be here with you today. So it is. I'm going to give a plug to the website again, richieallen.co.uk. Has been refurbished, it's been revamped, rejigged, reduced. And I'm very pleased with the result. My great pal Hayden Hewitt nailed the brief that I gave him. And I'm thrilled to bits with it. And I do recommend that you create an account on there. And I did mention this at the very beginning of the programme, and I will mention it again. I'm not asking you to create an account because I want any of your information to market anything to you. Absolutely not. Not in a million years. I'll never sell you anything. But it go in and have a look at it and you'll see why. It's going to have a lot of features that will appear magically out of thin air in the coming days, where I'll be able to speak to you on there during the show. You'll be able to speak to me on there, post comments about the show in real time while it's happening. And that might be very useful to me when the inevitable happens, when the Twitter account is deleted and when the Facebook account is deleted. It's inevitable. I'm not a martyr now or anything like that, but I've had a few 12-hour bans recently. They've deleted quite a number of tweets. Oh, listen, let me reiterate something that I mentioned when I was on the Cornwall Revolution Radio yesterday, but maybe I've not said here. Those of you who are seeing a decrease in your follower numbers on Twitter, it's not because Twitter is deleting, excuse me, it's not because Twitter is taking followers away from you. No, what Twitter is doing is it's deleting hundreds of thousands of accounts. And there's a good chance that some of those accounts followed you, if you understand. People have missed this. You see, they've taken at least 100,000 accounts and deleted them, genuine accounts, from people who believed or believe in the QAnon thing. So they've deleted them, and they've deleted probably hundreds of thousands more. People who, you know, who have an interest in the independent media, who are likely to share things they find on the independent media. And they've deleted so many accounts that I've seen a couple of thousand followers drop away. I know Gareth Icke has seen the same thing happen. Peter Hitchens, the Mail on Sunday columnist, has said the same thing has happened to him. And there are accusations that some people had bought their followers. Because if you want to, you can artificially grow your own Twitter page by buying artificial followers from dummy accounts. Some people do that, but that's an exercise in total abject futility. I've never done it. I know Gareth Icke has never done it, but some people do it to make it look like they've got a lot of followers. No, my Twitter thing grew organically over 5-6 years to about 40,000 followers or thereabouts, and it's lost a couple of thousand in recent days. That's what's going on. So the richieallen.co.uk website is being set up that you'll have very easy access to me when the show is on and you want to say something or share with me a bit of information that's fairly prescient or that's fairly urgent. That'll be a good thing, won't it? Won't it? He said for me, Spiros Skouras is great at doing that. And what he was when he was on Twitter before he was banned, Spiro was brilliant. He would send me a quick bit of information that was breaking or something. Because I don't have a producer here, of course. I don't have any editor. So I can't do it for myself when I'm on air because I'm speaking to you, you see. How rude would it be if I was speaking to you and browsing the internet at the same time? I don't do that. No, so I don't. Right, 13 even minutes past the hour. Not too much more to tell you today, really, you know. I will address this, though. I didn't address it properly before Christmas, but I'm going to address it now, so I am. One or two of you have sent me very, very polite and very well-meaning messages saying you're fed up of the coronavirus stuff. You got to talk about something else, Richie, or Gammon, or whatever you call me, sometimes. This is the thing. And I said this before, and I use that old well-worn phrase, to not be dealing with the developments that are coming in on a daily basis. The daily basis? I'll say that again. To not be analysing and deconstructing the statements that we get from so-called official sources on coronavirus and on lockdown, to not be dealing with that on a daily basis, would be, to me, if I'm talking about something else, would be like, I don't know, what did I say before? It would be like rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. It's everything at the moment. It's omnipresent. And it feeds into about 1,000 different agendas, what we're witnessing now. So it's got to come up, and it will come up on the radio show Monday to Thursday, because it's a news analysis, it's a news-driven radio programme. And I lighten it up as best as I can, and without ever giving myself a pat on the back, I think I do a half-decent job of mocking it and satirising it, and we have a giggle about it quite a lot of the time. But I can't not talk about it. That being said, I hear you loud and clear. Do you think I like it every day, sitting here, arranging the programme, creating the programme, editing audio, reading newspaper stories? I don't like it. But that's where Sunday Morning Melodies comes in, which begins this coming Sunday at 10 o'clock UK time. Now, Hayden has listed this as an hour-long programme, but it'll be more than an hour. It'll be 90 minutes / 2 hours. A minimum of 90 minutes, a maximum of 2 hours. Sometimes it'll be 90 minutes, sometimes it'll be 2 hours. You get the picture, right? And on Sunday Morning Melodies, we won't be talking about coronavirus or any of that jazz. We'll be listening to a bit of jazz from time to time, a bit of swing, okay? Music from yesteryear, and we'll have a bit of fun doing that. It's a throwback programme. I think my great pal Jean Ann summed it up. It'll be, I suppose, it'll be a nod to Force's favourites. And I can't wait to do that. And the first one will happen, will take place this coming Sunday at 10 o'clock. It replaces the total failure, as it was the Friday afternoon programme. So that will give me a bit of respite from it. Hopefully it'll give you a bit of respite from talking about coronavirus. But to those of you getting cheesed off of it, look, it's in all of our lives. There's no avoiding it. And we have to talk about it and analyse it and dissect it and somehow deconstruct it. I don't know, you know. Here's a terrific song from Bruce Springsteen, which is kind of channeling Glen Campbell, I think. Yeah, I think Bruce is channeling Glen Campbell here. This is a song called Tucson Train, from an album called Western Stars. If you get a chance, if you do happen to subscribe to a streaming service, a music streaming service, there are a few. There are quite a few out there. I use one particular streaming service, which charges me £10 a month to listen to, well, all the music you could ever want, really. But if you do have a streaming service, do check out that album, Western Stars by Bruce Springsteen from 2019. It's absolutely magnificent. It really is. And it spawned a live performance. Bruce has got a big old barn, doesn't he? Where's the barn now? You see, you start telling a story and then you stop because you start to think, it's not in Nebraska. It might be in Nebraska, it might not be. He's got a big old barn anyway, in the countryside. And it's an amazing thing. Well, why wouldn't it be when you have the money that Bruce Springsteen has? Beautiful, with a big, huge, massive wooden dance floor made out of, I'm sure it's solid oak or pine or cedar wood. It's just absolutely gorgeous anyway. And a lovely bar. And it holds a couple of hundred people. And what he did was, when he recorded that album, which is not very Bruce Springsteen-esque, it's very California country, I don't know, if there is a genre, definitely inspired by people like Glen Campbell anyway. Wonderful. Western Stars. Yeah, so what he did was he recorded a film where he invited all his family and friends, his best friends, and the best friends of his best friends, got him into the barn, and he played most of the songs from the album live with a special band, because it has nothing to do with the E Street Band, and he filmed it, and it is a thing of beauty. And we need a few beautiful things in our lives right now, don't we? Hey, we need a bit of beauty. That's why I suppose it's sickening to see actors and producers on television news programmes daily. Now, Sky News gets any credit, and I don't want to give it any credit. I really don't. God knows I don't want to give it even a sliver, not a sliver of credit. But more than anybody else, Sky has at least given a platform to people from the various arts to come on and talk about how devastating the lockdowns, because we've been in lockdown since last March, basically. You know, how devastating it has been for art, for theatre, drama, for music, concerts, performances, whether it be classical, whether it be heavy metal, whether it be rock or pop. Devastating. Absolutely devastating. And you need it now more than ever, I think. You need it now more than ever. I can't get through the weekend without sticking on a vinyl, without sticking on a bit of Johnny Cash or a bit of John Denver. I might stick on a bit of Nina Simone. I might stick on anybody, really. Might stick on America. Might stick on a bit of old Neil Diamond, a bit of Bob Dylan. You can't do without it, can you, right now? We need all the beautiful things in our lives that we can get. I don't know. So, look, I'm pretty much going to take my leave of you now. Just to give another plug to Sunday Morning Melodies this coming Sunday at 10 o'clock UK time. I do hope you'll be able to make that. It's a strange one, this, because when it comes to uploading it later on, it's problematic because the programme will be music-driven. And while I edit the music out of the podcasts for Spotify and iTunes, which I do, I edit out the music for those because I am a speech programme, of course a talk programme, I can't very well edit the music out from Sunday Morning Melodies, can I? Because it just makes a complete mess of it. So what I might need to do is encourage people who don't hear it live to listen to it on the stream on my website. I need to post the repeat times pretty much loud and clear. So if it goes out at 10 o'clock, it'll start repeating, say, at 1 o'clock and at 3 o'clock and at 5 o'clock. And you can pick it up there, or you can just dip in and out of it as you choose or please. But I won't be able to, for example, I couldn't put it on YouTube. I haven't uploaded anything to YouTube for weeks because I was banned. And the YouTube channel currently has two strikes. They're looking for any excuse to give it a third strike and delete the channel. Not that I care, but I don't want to give the bastards the satisfaction of doing it to me again either, if you know what I mean. I think you do know what I mean. And there are hundreds and hundreds of interviews on there anyway. Now, I know those interviews are already on podomatic.com. I've got them saved, safe and secure at home here anyway. But I don't want to give Google the satisfaction of doing it to me again, the bastards. So I'm not going to, for the time being, put anything on YouTube. No uploads of the Richie Allen Radio Show on YouTube. There are plenty of places to hear the podcast. Like I said, Spotify, iTunes, and say it for me, and podomatic.com. Funny enough, two of last week's programs didn't go to Spotify. And you sniffed a conspiracy. You thought that Spotify was censoring me. It wasn't censoring me, Spotify. What happened was, if you remember, my editing software was on the blink last Wednesday and Thursday. I couldn't edit. So I had to upload the entire program to Podomatic, including the music, which I hadn't edited out because I had no editing software. And that meant that Spotify said, well, we can't carry this because, well, you can't be, you know, there are copyright issues, which of course there are. So anyway, the programs since then, this week, have all gone to Spotify because I've been able to edit out the music. Anyway, there you go. That's a bit of a long-winded explanation. Thanks again to Hayden Hewitt. Thank you, Hayden. He's got a lot to do this evening. He's at the Trigger Warning Studios. He's got a program going out there. The lovely Stephen Englander, great friend of ours, presents a business program out of the offices there. He's the man behind Accounts Direct in the great city of Manchester. That's going on. Do check that out. Go to triggerwarning.tv. Go to the Trigger Warning channel on YouTube and subscribe to it if you can. Thanks for listening to this today. Sorry that we didn't have any guests. It was a bit lighter on content than it ordinarily is. But, you know, I've been up to my eyes with the website for the last 48 hours. We, you and me, will speak again on Sunday morning. Sunday morning, we'll talk at 10 o'clock sharp for Sunday Morning Melodies. I'm going out with this. Derek and the Dominoes. Old Slow Hand. Take care of yourselves. Have a fantastic weekend. Until Sunday then, it's bye from the BBG.